This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Nancy Guthrie and the Bitcoin. Fresh ransom notes have been hitting TMZ recently. One Bitcoin demanded, half for information, half after the arrest. $1.2 million reward through legitimate channels has also moved absolutely nothing. Still no name suspect. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, joining myself and Robin Dreek to break down some of the latest here. I know you had a conversation earlier this week on your channel over on Break the Case about the Bitcoin, about being able to trace Bitcoin ransoms on how they work, how they function. Can this be done? As a layperson over here, we've seen it in the past. We've seen Colonial Pipeline, Caesars. They've been able to track this sort of thing to a degree in real time when they've had ransom demands on their systems and figure out, okay, we pay the ransom. They track down who did it and they get their money back. It's probably far more complex and not as easy as that. But Jen, what have you found out in your research and your conversations that you've had about these Bitcoin demands and just how difficult they may be to track down or not? And I think
we just lost her again.
Because she is like Guthrie Queen. She's doing a lot of work on this stuff. The tracking through the Bitcoin and poking at the system is what she's really been pressing the sheriff, pressing a system, pressing, and it's confusing. That's why, you know, hopefully she can come back and comment on this, because, you know, and she said this during the last show, when you have the ability to do something, because the Bureau has resources, the Guthries have resources, and even said online and in social media that they're willing to pay for information just to get their mother back and really in any kind of condition, why wouldn't you take a swing at it? And that's what I'm kind of curious about, especially when you have the ability to do some sort of tracking. And again, you just play the law of averages. So say you lose it. Mm-hmm. It's still intelligence you get. You know, we would invest in the Bureau a lot of time, a lot of energy, and do a cost-benefit analysis of the money we're going to invest in this for the intelligence we're going to get out of it. So I'm curious why they're not as well. Maybe they know something we don't know.
I'm not super well versed in how Bitcoin works. I have very little of it in my investment portfolio, and I've never bought a damn thing in the world with it. I know there's ways that you can do that, but is it really that untraceable? Is it? I mean, I know there have been ways where it has been traced, and I guess to a layperson, that's the question that I think a lot of us have: is like, well, if you can kind of trace it over here in some possible factions, why can't you over here in this? If you have not just the average Joe doing it, the full force of the United States government and their ability to track something like this, is it really that impossible to do? And is simply the fear of losing $36,000 all that's holding anyone back from pulling that lever, I guess?
And that's what's interesting to me, Tony, because okay, so what I do when I do the calculations when I'm in the world of intelligence is, let's just write off the fact that we're going to lose it. We're going to lose track of it. Mm-hmm. And so, all right, so if we write that off, if you're going for the intelligence, if you can actually garner some sort of intelligence on where she might be, why wouldn't you take a swing at that? So I would actually go for the end result, hoping you might get – so I, in other words – we're kind of talking about plan A would be to track the Bitcoin. Yeah. And plan B is to find Nancy. Now, I'm reversing it. Plan B is to figure track the Bitcoins. I think that's harder than trying to center on, all right, let's get some actionable intel, because as of what we know in the public right now, we have zero. Mm-hmm. And even if it garners another response, even if it gets someone to poke their head up somewhere, it's one more thing we have to track down, unless for some reason they are inundated with a lot more leads than we know about right now, because I think there's not much they're working with.
You know, that's what I guess I'm wondering about is, you know, we're hearing a handful of stories of, okay, there's a Bitcoin demand here over at TMZ. There's a Bitcoin demand over here at whatever. We're just hearing about a couple of them. When somebody knows that this is kind of the modality that are being demands are coming from in a case like this, you're going to get your copycats, and you're going to get everybody from some, you know, Yahoo on their computer in their mother's basement doing this, you know, all the way to maybe the actual person who has true information. How do you know who has what? You can't go pay every Bitcoin wallet $36,000 and hope for the best. And then how do you truly decipher who has information when that individual, even if they may have the information, doesn't have anything to prove to you that they are that much closer to the actual facts than anybody else?
That's what makes this so challenging, stupid to me.
Yeah.
Because, all right, so if we go back to, I know there's two main leading theories out there. Basically, the main thrust is something in the house was targeted. She was abducted from the house for either panic escalation because you're going for something else in a house and she dies along the way, or you went into the house to get her. But either way, you're trying to profit from something in that house, either her herself or something else. Or I'm sorry, the third theory is just to terrorize Savannah by making it personal. Okay, so with that in place, I'm still thinking that I still from the get go, and this is why I love having Jennifer on, because you know we have all these different theories about what could be, and she is all in on, you know, it was targeted for Nancy and that these ransom notes are real. I'm bought in if that's the truth. But here's a challenge with it. If it was the truth, why aren't they pulling the trigger and doing it? Unless you go on to the other side of the coin, where I'm at on the ransom note side, was I think the ransom notes were frauds.
Yeah.
Some of them, I could say, because I know there's some things going on with some of the notes with some religious overtones maybe, and they might be. In other words, we got a lot of notes, and so to your point, which one do you respond to? And I think some of them are very indeed coming from the Prince of Algeria, looking for your $1 billion, and all you got to do is give him $500 million first.
Well, it's interesting, you know, if some of them carry, and this is just pure speculation here, so whoever's going to run with this as a story, understand that. If there is a pattern here of religiosity in some specific notes that kind of track of like, okay, these notes seem to come together, like these might be from a similar group, that still doesn't mean it's from the kidnapper. It just means it's from someone who's consistently sending in the same level of madness. And there is a theory that's gaining some traction right now that some of the notes contain, or may contain, I should say, scripture, and that the person behind them may see themselves as holy, someone who gets off on control, not money. That would explain why the family's public appeals have landed so heavily on religious language. And it would explain why the Bitcoin wallet has sat empty for weeks. If the money was never the point, how long is somebody like that willing to hold on, and does that change the window the Bureau is actually working inside? But if money's not the thing and it's all religious, why would that person be writing letters demanding Bitcoin? I guess it almost contradicts itself in the same way. But if we were to take the Bitcoin out of it, and because some of these notes, I believe, just had messages, didn't have a Bitcoin connection to it, just religiosity in them, allegedly. And if this is about control and it's not about money, and it's more so about watching the Today Show and then leaking some information out to somebody, and suddenly, oh, look, Savannah's not on that interview anymore. She suddenly was pulled away live on television. I mean, there's a level of control there that some asshole may be sitting somewhere going, I made that happen. People get off on weird shit. And if they can see them having a level of control of doing something like that, pulling a live television lever from wherever they're at, or then pulling the lever of emotions with this family and their tweets and their responses that they put out online, they're getting a reaction. They're able to connect directly with that celebrity that otherwise has gatekeepers in front of them, but they're able to do it because they did something so extreme. Sometimes it's just for the joy of that. And that's the sick, scary part. And that's the part where we may never actually find out who the hell did this, if that's the goal.
I totally get that and see it as a possibility. And just like the all the other theories, though, all right, so let's go down that road. Mm-hmm. Then why isn't there more? So if you have a message of religiosity, or if you have some doctrine, if you have some poking you want to do, or you have some control you're trying to exercise, we're seeing a little bit of it, but there's so much more they could do if that was the end goal. Why are we? Why? In other words, if you have a message inside of the ransom notes or the notes that you're sending to TMZ, they're not getting aired. So if there's a message in there you want to be aired, why wouldn't you find another outlet that would air the entire thing or another way to put it out there? So, okay.
No, I think they are. I think they're attempting that right now.
Right, but I know. So, but it's the tempo that I'm not getting on this one, because people that are trying to gauge and control an action or control things tend to want to have a higher tempo, a return of their investment, of taking risk. And But it's not quite all the way there is what I'm saying.
But I think there's also, I think we might almost be overthinking it a little bit too.
I think so.
We're thinking that there's some sort of end goal here, that it is to get Savannah to do something or to get money or to get whatever. It might just be somebody with some sort of extreme delusional religiosity going on that really enjoys poking animals with sticks. I mean, when you're at the zoo and you're looking at, not that you're poking animals with sticks at a zoo, but let's for a second, for the sake of argument, say that you're poking an animal with a stick at a zoo. Let's say you're five and have that sort of mentality. You're not sitting there going, I'm going to poke the animal with a stick, with any sort of greater goal of like, I hope it sleeps well tonight, or I hope it goes, eats more food. No, you're just going for the reaction at that moment. And then you walk away to the next exhibit because your brain is just firing every which way. And you're a kid. I'm wondering if that's kind of what's going on here. There isn't a greater goal. There's not a greater good. There's not a greater goal. There's nothing. It's some asshole that is delusional as hell, thinks that they're communicating with, they're somehow communicating and moving people in some way, shape, or form by poking his family with a stick is somehow, it's fulfilling to them. And that's they need. They're getting fulfilled by something. Not that there's a greater goal, but they're hungry for, they're getting fed it.
So I like the thought process, Tony. So the intent I was speaking about earlier was the intent was to profit by something in that house. But we keep seeing incongruencies between that intent and actions, which keep not adding up. That's why you said we're overcomplicating it when we're doing that. So if the intent wasn't to make profit off of Nancy, because that went sideways. If the intent wasn't to profit off of taking something of material value out of the house, because that went sideways, mm-hmm. What was the intent? Well, according to your theory, the intent is just to keep poking the bear forever. Which now, and so here's a great analogy for that. Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, he had an intent in a manifesto of trying to get rid of technology in the world by blowing people up. But his intent was never to stop. His intent was to get better at it and just keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And so that's an interesting, because remember, always trying, it's never motive, as John Douglas talks about. Motive is something that we like to say in the press and the media and all that, but it's always about understanding. That's why I keep coming back to that word intent. And every time we're dealing with this Guthrie case, we can't quite keep lining the intent that we think it is up with the actions we're seeing. Yeah. But your theory out there, actually it lines up better than anything else I've heard so far. I think Coffendeffer's, you know, Jen's great work on that poking at Nancy is definitely a huge answer and supporting that intent of the eternal purgatory they're trying to put the family in, because that it could be a never ending without an end state of something that we're looking at, material gain, Bitcoin gain. That's why it's not gaining traction. It's just one way to keep that attention and poke it.
I'm wondering if the true person who's behind this has anything to do still with any of these ransom notes, or if it's someone who just saw an opportunity to start playing that role and to be taken as seriously as if they were this, and they're doing it. I mean, there's the simplistic, innocent childhood version of it where it's a prank call. you know, and as a kid, you laugh at it and you get some excitement out of it. Somebody believed that this was crazy. I remember I used to prank the competing radio station across town with fake cancellations when there were storms.
Now, Todd, you got Todd going.
Tony.
I would be like, the R lady of basted chicken or the R lady of eternal damnation is canceling their basted chicken roast today because of the storm. Okay, we'll get that on. And then they would air it, and I got extreme joy. It was funny. It was, but that was innocent and stupid. This is someone's life. This is someone's mother. This is someone's well-being. This is someone's very existence. But I'm not saying that those same sort of levers or that same sort of fucked up enjoyment that you get from making a thing like that couldn't also be bastardized in someone's brain and be so cognitively distorted that there's people getting their jollies out of this sort of shit too.
Tony, I think out of everything we've covered so far, this makes the most sense to me, believe it or not, because if you wanted to, I mean, because this person's got away with this.
Yeah.
And the reason why most people get caught is because they're trying to profit. The intent is to profit in some way. And the attempt to profit is what always trips them up. But if you're not trying to profit, you're just trying to poke. You control the tempo of when you want to poke. And since it doesn't, this makes so much sense. It's all falling in place. They were never looking for two-way communication. Remember, it's always one way. And anytime you do, and so let's just assume all the ransom notes are accurate or real, which I don't think. But the original ones that came in, which they think were, at least that's what Nancy, Savannah said, and some others have said, I think even Jen maybe, none of them actually gave away for two-way communication, which hasn't happened. And so remember, I keep going back to the stats saying, well, that can't be that because the stats say every single case, there's got to be two-way communication, but this one wasn't. And so what fits to no two-way communication needed? The poke, the poke, the poke. Without the need for profit, they just want to get the attention to keep poking.
Some people just like the poke.
It's very interesting. I'm going to re-examine a few things on this one. Yeah. And what I love about it, too, it totally supports what Jen's been saying the entire time about retribution towards Savannah or the family in some way. Yes-ish. I think it might have been personal towards them, but it definitely created an opportunity for someone that was public, who's someone's mother, who they knew where they lived. In other words, it might have been targeted towards them or might have just been target of opportunity for them for this need they had in their lives to have some, again, celebrity notoriety is a huge reason why a lot of morons do stupid things. Yeah. And this is, I mean, look at the celebrity notoriety they're getting out of this. They are, like you said, they're controlling a narrative at their tempo. All they have to do to get attention is put a little more trickle out there without even, and it doesn't require two-way communication, which keeps them safe.
And that person may or may not have anything to do with Nancy. It may just be somebody who found a lever and is getting some joy out of doing this.
You're right. It might not have been the first one. It could have been someone who came along and just riding the coattails.
Two totally different crimes being committed, in my opinion.
Torture is what it is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's somebody who gets joy. It's very sadistic type thinking. I mean, your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in and give us your thoughts. Check it out. This is Robin's latest book, It's Not All About Me. It's available wherever you get books. Go check it out. Jennifer Coffendaffer, check out her channel on YouTube and on Substack, Break the Case. And you can hear that conversation that she had recently with an expert about Bitcoin. And it's like an hour and a half. It really dives deep. So I do highly recommend checking that out if you're trying to get full
including
context.
The video for David and getting in the trial. I mean, looking at Jennifer's stuff before you listen to our show is always a great move, just like Bob Mata.
Yeah, go check it out. All right. We'll continue our conversation in the comments section. Until then, and until next time, for Jen, for Robin, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.